Matthew 5, 1 through 9. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the pure in heart. Thank you for the merciful. Thank you, Father God, for those that hunger and thirst, just can't get enough of your righteousness. Thank you for those that are meek, that are under the power of God. Blessed are they that mourn when we realize that God had to step out of heaven to die for our sins. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who realize that without you, they are nothing. And they have no access to the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for all that you've done today and all that you're going to do. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the Madisons for stepping out on faith and doing to Randy what was done to all of us that know Jesus Christ. We were adopted into the family of God also. So I just pray right now for strength and mercy and grace. Thank you for returning Sister Doris to us. It's good to lay eyes on her, Father God. I just pray that everybody would walk by her and give her a hug. Don't want to hug her, punch her. We love Doris. We miss her. And we just thank you for waking up this morning and touching her heart to come to God's house so we can just see her. We pray for those that are sick and here, that are tired in here, that are ailing in here. Thank you for their ministry of presence. It's just good to see folks labor and fight to get to God's house. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Power of peace. The power of a peacemaker. I've talked to the Wednesday night class, and at my facility that I work at, we have Kit Cummings, and Kit Cummings is the founder of the Power of Peace program. And what Mr. Cummings does is he goes to all of the most violent prisons in the world, and he promotes peace. He says in 40 days he can bring peace to a institution. He's been at our place. We're in day number 20, and it's still a little bit off the hook. But his peace comes with the promise of after the 40 days, they have a big meal for, you know, and inmates will do anything for a big meal. And then after the 40 days, after not only the big meal, your family get to come, and you can spend all day with your family. And a lot of folks just ain't going to mess up because they want to be with their families. So they'll pay attention for 40 days to get that big meal and to be able to hug their family and see their brothers and sisters. But what he does, and I've said this on Wednesday night, that really shakes me to the core, is he talks about great peacemakers of the world. And he uses Martin Luther King and Gandhi and Nelson Mandela and Mother Teresa as great peacemakers. Well, I don't know. South Africa is still off the charts. Violent. The violence is out of control. Martin Luther King's dream is still a dream. Matter of fact, I'm going to make this up. When I was down south, this is a make-believe story. And I was riding down the street, and I seen all the Ku Klux Klan, and I was like, what's going on? They all had their hoods and stuff, and they were all lined up. And the brother was with me, said, don't worry about it. That's the unemployment line. Young brothers have put the Klan out of business. Almost. There's no peace without Christ.
Amen.
The world's peace is a ceasefire. We put the guns down for a minute, and there's no peace in Youngstown, and the churches are open this morning. Folks talking about peace, and they're marching, and they're protesting, and, you know, and then every life matters, and without Christ, there'd be no peace.
Amen.
I'm always moved when I see preachers on TV and they're protesting. Listen, pastors. Listen, ministers. Listen, congregation. There'll be no peace in Youngstown. There'll be no peace on the streets of Cleveland or Chicago or Detroit until folks get saved.
Amen.
You can march all you want.
Amen.
People need to know Jesus.
Amen. Preach the word.
He's the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. Now, what Kit Cummings does in the Power of Peace program, he talks about Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela and Mother Teresa. But what he does is he throws Jesus Christ of Nazareth in the mix. And that's problematic for me. And I'm like, how can you put Jesus Christ in that group?
Uh-huh.
Not that they're not good people and respectable. But Jesus Christ, let me tell you who Jesus Christ is. Isaiah 9:6 talks about Jesus Christ. This is who he is. These aren't names for him. This is who he is. It says, let me turn there. Isaiah 9:6. We know this. Sorry to turn this into a Christmas message. Listen to what it says about our Savior, our Lord, the God of heaven. He said, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name, not his names, and his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, what made him wonderful? What made him wonderful? His suffering made him wonderful. His dying on Calvary's cross made him wonderful. His resurrection made him wonderful. His dying for the church, where we can come and worship him, made him wonderful.
Amen.
He's wonderful. Not only is he wonderful, he's Counselor. Not a counselor, he's the Counselor.
Amen.
His teachings. And I know a lot of our people, a lot of our family members, some of us, we go to see therapists and counselors and psychotherapists and social workers and caseworkers. But listen, you get to know the great counselor.
Amen.
You get to know the great counselor, and you will not need any counselors.
Amen.
You get to know God in the person of Jesus Christ, and you get to know his handbook.
Amen.
And you will need no other counselor. Not only is he wonderful, not only is he counselor, he's a mighty God.
Amen.
He is a mighty God. The word of God says this in Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power.
Mm-hmm.
Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil.
Yeah.
For God was with him. He was a mighty God. The word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, we said it earlier, Ann was reading, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, talking about this great God, this mighty God. He says in 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, amen, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. He was and still is a mighty God. Amen. Is he mighty in your life? Amen. Bible says he conquered death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Have no fear of death, of sin. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For ye are not under the law, but under grace. How did you get under grace? When Christ died on Calvary's cross, grace was established. We're not judged by the law. We are judged by grace. Listen, he was wonderful. He's counselor. He's a mighty God. I like this one here. He's the everlasting Father. He's the everlasting Father. Revelation 1 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, say the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Like he signed it, the Almighty. I just wonder when we throw Jesus Christ in those same categories with mere mortal men, we can go visit all their graves. And they still there. Mm-hmm. There's one grave you won't visit. Why? Because he's not only the mighty God, not only is he wonderful, not only is he counselor, not only is he the everlasting Father. The Word of God said he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Now don't take that word lightly. I know people take the word Prince, and we got the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. And we got the little red Corvette Prince. Purple Rain Prince. But listen, that word prince means he's a head person. He's a captain. He's a general. He's a master. He's the ruler. He is God. The word prince in that text means he is in charge of everything. He is a Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. What is peace? God desire for you to have all his righteousness. That's peace. When somebody say, peace be unto you, so that person is saying shalom. He's saying, listen, I wish that all of God's righteousness come to you. I thought about that. Many times we wonder what to say to some folks. They may be facing an adversity or going in for a medical procedure or surgery, or like little Jeremy going off into the Navy. And you don't want to say, well, good luck. We don't want to say good luck. Here's something you can say. May God's peace be with you. I want the very best for you. I want all of what God has for you to have. And sometimes we need that. Because folks going through. And they don't need luck. Okay? See, when you call somebody, well, good luck. Listen, if I'm going to have surgery, I don't want nobody saying good luck. But there's another side of good luck. Okay. There's bad luck. So, you know, good luck. That's kind of scary. You going under and somebody says, well, good luck. Whew. See, listen. Romans 8:28 talks about our God. And our God of peace. And Paul's talking about it. Paul could talk about it because he knew it. He lived it, and he preached it, and he taught it. And Paul was saying, Romans 8:28, I love this. And he said, and we know all things All things work together for good to them that
love God.
To them who are called according to his purpose. What's that mean? Called according to his purpose. Called by the gospel. This is why it's so important that the gospel be preached, because some folks getting called and haven't heard the gospel. And they are calling themselves Christians and they never heard the gospel. This is why I get on them. I get on my teachers and my ministers and Dave, he talk, preach the gospel. Preach it. Just preach it. Folks ain't gonna like it. They ain't like Jesus. Preach it. You have a responsibility when God calls you to open up the text, preach the gospel. Be instant, in season and out of season. Folks ain't gonna want to hear it. When they're going to play with their tablets, they may want to fool around, get up, walk outside, walk around the hallway. Listen. Your responsibility is to preach it.
Amen.
Why? Because God's people, the true people of God, they want to hear the gospel.
Amen.
They don't want to hear nothing else.
Amen.
They want to hear the gospel. Why? Because peace is promised to the people of God. You show me a person that has no peace, and I'll show you a person that has no God. Let me say that again. You show me a person that has no peace, and I'll show you a person that has no God. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through. You better have peace in the valley. I expect to come visit you. I don't expect you to be all discombobulated. If I come to visit you in the hospital, oh, Lord, I'm going to die. And don't you know it's an appointed unto man wants to die?
Amen.
And after that, the judgment, we all going to die.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with dying. The problem is dying lost.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing wrong with dying. I would say, look, you this close. Nothing wrong with dying. Listen. Keep saying listen. Peace is promised to God's people. It is. Why? How do I know that, Pastor? Listen. The Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalms 29:11. Let me read it again. The Lord will give strength unto his people. Why? Because his people want it. You gotta want to be strengthened. You gotta want to be strong in the things of God. You just ain't gonna wake up strong.
Amen.
Okay? You watch LeBron run up and down that basketball court. You think he sitting around playing on a tablet all day? He in the gym, he's stretching, he on a strict diet, he exercising, running, probably running 5 miles a day.
Amen.
Gotta want it. You gotta want the strength of God. How do you get it? By asking for it. God, give me strength. Give me peace. Give me power. Give me love. Give me joy. Look at John 14:27. Here's Jesus talking to his disciples. He's getting ready to leave. He said, peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Peace I live with you. Where I'm going, I don't need it. Okay, I'm leaving with you because you're going to need it. He said, my peace. Not the world's peace. My peace. I give you. I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I unto you. Listen. You know what the world's peace is? It's outward peace. It's stuff. See, the world gives you outward peace. There's three stages of peace. The world gives you an outward peace. And we're happy with that. Okay? As long as I look good, how I look in this? How I look in that? We got outward peace. But see, there's an inward peace. See, there's an inward peace that's called grace. Okay? And that grace will get you through some stuff. We'll get you through some heartache and some pain and some battles. See, some of you here today because of that inward grace. If you'd only had outward grace, you would have buckled. You would have quit long time ago.
Amen.
Soon as adversity hit, you got that outward peace. Well, you know, it's affecting my stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now listen, God's peace works from the inside out, not from the outside in. Y'all get that?
Amen.
That makes sense. This is what he says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Then he says this. Let not your heart be troubled. See, that's inward peace. Let not your heart be troubled. That's an inward peace. See, there's a third phase to this piece. Look what it says. Neither let it be afraid. What's he talking about? He's talking about the world giveth. That's an outward peace. Let not your heart be troubled. That's an inward peace. And he said, neither let it be afraid. What's that peace? That's an everlasting peace. That's an everlasting peace. That's the peace of glory. Because you know what? If you have the outward peace and the inward peace, you will have an everlasting peace. You ain't got to worry about it. See, you don't have to worry about it. I like this. Folks talking about peace. I'm flying. I know I'm going fast. Listen, here's Paul writing to the Corinthian church. This is a great letter. He's getting ready to rebuke this church, but he got some folks in this church that's doing some crazy stuff. Running around, speaking in tongues. You got all kinds of stuff going on. Folks are acting a fool in church, suing one another, going after one another. Got a father, a son sleeping with his father's wife and all that. They all call themselves Christians. Yep. Saved folk in the church, jacked up, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And here's Paul called right to the church. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of the Father. He had to put his credentials down. See, he had to put his credentials down. If you read Philippians, he didn't address Philippians church like that. He just said, "How y'all doing? I'm here." But with this church, he's checking them. He said, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And so this, our brother, he said, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them and them only, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. He said, this ain't for everybody. But I got some folks here I got to check.
Amen.
He says, called to be saints. That's what you're called to be. Saints. See, folks say, I'm sanctified. No, you're a saint. That's all saint means. You're short for being sanctified. Okay? This is a sanctified church. This is more sanctified church than Ryan Church in Youngstown. Y'all just don't know that. See? But we don't have gymnastics in here and aerobics, so y'all think we ain't sanctified because we ain't running around. But we sanctified because the Word of God is cleansing us.
Amen.
It's cleansing us and it's changing us and it's working on us. Okay? Called to be saints with all them with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you call upon Jesus Christ your Lord? Are you calling upon Jesus Christ your Lord? How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible study time? When I say read Matthew chapter 5 through 7, can you get through that? Can you get through that? Can you put your phone down long enough to get through that? Take probably half an hour to read it. See, we say we're sanctified. We don't got no word in us. And then we run into somebody at Walmart that need a word. We don't have no word in us. And then we say, good luck. Then you go walk around down the aisle. And Pastor, he just said, I shouldn't say good luck. But I don't know what else to say. Get some word in you.
Amen.
Get some word in you. Get some word in you. Peace. Remember we were lost? The Word of God said we were lost. Y'all's pastor was lost. Y'all's pastor was lost. You know what? Ephesians 2 and 17 says, and he came. And he came. Christ came and preached peace to you which were far off. You know what I'm preaching today? I'm preaching peace to somebody. You may be right here. You may be right here, 2369 Oak Street Extension, but in your heart and in your mind and in your thoughts, you are far off. You are farther off than the prodigal son. You're all the way in a far country sitting in church. And he said he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. He preached peace. What's peace look like? Y'all remember the story? Abraham and Lot. Abraham was a peacemaker.
Amen.
Abraham was one of the greatest peacemakers of all time. And in Genesis 8 and 9, God had blessed them, the outward stuff. See? Lot had the outward stuff. He had the outward blessing, but he didn't have no inward blessing. See? So he had the outward blessing, and the Bible said the land got so much that God had blessed him so much on the outside that the land couldn't hold both of them. Okay? And then it says in verse 9, it says, in the land, in the whole land, in 13, 9, I'm sorry, Genesis 13, 9. And then it says, not the whole land before thee. Abraham said, separate thyself. He said, separate thyself. He said, I pray thee from me. If thou will take the left, then I will go to the right. This is a peacemaker.
Amen.
See, this is a peacemaker. Not a compromiser. A peacemaker.
Amen.
Okay, there's a difference between a compromiser and a peacemaker. Abraham's not compromising. Abraham's counting on his God. He said, well, it don't matter where I go, God going with me.
Amen.
He's not compromising.
Amen.
Okay? And we'll get to compromising in a minute. He says, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. That's a picture of haughtiness. See? That's a picture of haughtiness. He's like, this old fool. Old granddad's a fool. Uncle Abraham's a fool. Okay? See? See, sometimes, you know, our kids think they tricking us. They think we don't know no better. But see, I can't do this on my own strength. See, you may be thinking that I'm a fool, but I'm counting on God.
Amen.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So I really hope and pray that Madison and Jacinda is not thinking that they're going to adopt the child and raise him on their own strength.
Amen.
They had to lean on the Lord.
Amen.
And all of us in here with children, listen, we need to lean on the Lord with our children.
Amen.
Fast and pray for our children. And if you in here don't have no children, pray for mine.
Amen.
Just pray for these children.
Amen.
Abraham said, you go to the left, I go to the right. That's a peacemaker. Why? Because God with me. He's going to be with me in the desert. He's going to be with me in the good times. And he's going to be with me in the bad times. Why? Why do we have peace? The true peacemaker, the true child of God has peace. Not because of anything we do. Our peace is only given, the only peace we have is because we trust God.
Amen.
We trust God. And the fact that we trust God, we have peace.
Amen.
And I guess if you're here today, you don't have peace. I don't have peace. My daughter called me. She said, oh, damn, my life is a mess. I understand. It has to be. It has to be. My nieces call me, my nephews. My life is a mess. And if you're here today, you're going to come back a couple years from now and your life will be a mess.
Amen.
Why? Because you won't have peace. Because you got to want peace. You got to want peace. You got to want to be in a right relationship with God. That's peace. Peace ain't putting the weapons down. Okay? Peace is you coming to grips with your sin. Two people bickering, both of them put their weapons down and come to grips with their sin.
Amen.
You can't build a bridge and everybody on the other side. There's got to be one person on this side, one person on this side.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can't build a bridge if ain't nobody on the other side.
Amen.
Oh, come on now.
Amen.
Listen, no peace, no God. You show me somebody that's confused, and I work with folks that make plenty of money. Big money folks. They can work all the time they want. No, they're miserable.
Uh-huh.
Why? No peace. They out of a relationship with God. And you run around here today, you upset. Lips poked out. Got a lemon in your pocket. Listen, 1 Corinthians 14:30. Let me help somebody. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. But of peace. He's the author of peace. Listen, I ain't beefing with nobody that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
And if I thought I was, I see him, I'm gonna try to make that thing right.
Amen.
See? You gotta want peace.
Mm-hmm.
There's a price for peace. God paid a heavy price for peace.
Amen.
See? See, this is a holiday season. See, we want a super deal on peace. We want a discount peace. Some of us got discount peace. You know, half off, marked all the way down. You know, you can have this peace and you can still receive all the benefits of heaven. Amen. Prosperity and good health and wealth at half the price. You won't have nobody, no accountability, no prayer needed, no worship needed, no commitment to the things of God. None of that's needed with this discount peace. And there's a whole lot of folks selling that. Uh-huh. There's a whole lot of folks selling discount peace. And you might have bought it. Got discount peace. I got a half off. I don't have to pray. I don't have to fast. I don't have to love nobody. I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to give. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to do nothing. Amen. And I still get to go to heaven. Amen. That's good stuff there. Let me tell you something. That's not good peace. Yeah. Peace costs. It costs God everything. Colossians 1:20 says, "Then having made peace, how? Mm-hmm. How? Through the blood of the cross. Mm-hmm. By him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven." Peace has a cost. It has a cost. Romans 5:1 said, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." What's he mean through Jesus Christ? Through him dying. You are justified by the blood of Christ. That's a heavy price. That's a heavy price. Do you want peace? Quiet in here, Anna. Do you want peace? And some of you, some folks get tired. You know, peacemaking is a whole lot easier than troublemaking. Troublemaking will wear you out. I mean, you're just looking for trouble. That's wear you down. You know, and I talk about stress and you talk about cancer and different things. You know, most of it caused by stress. Worrying, upset, mad at somebody that don't get hoot about you. Some folks just run around here mad at folks been dead for years. Still mad. Folk going on with their life. We still mad, walking around, hands balled up. Listen, you want peace? You got to get after it. You got to get after it. Listen, I want peace. You know, somebody have off with me, I'm going to get after them. I'm going to try my best to make it right. Listen, David knew that. Look what he says in Psalm 34:14. He said, "Depart from evil." That's the first step. Are you want peace? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Get after it. Don't let nobody be mad at you that you see every day, that you running into, that you have a relationship. You got folks in your house you don't even talk to. Don't let nobody be mad at you. Pursue peace. Isaiah 27:5 says, "Or let him take hold of my strength." You need the strength of God. "That he may make peace with me." Come on, man. Make some peacemakers. We need some peacemakers. Is there any peacemakers in here? Does the peace of God rule your heart? Is the peace of God mastering you? That's interesting. That's interesting. Paul said that in Colossians 3:15. He said, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Peace of God. Not a peace of God with an I. A peace of God. Some of you say, "I just want a peace of God." Get after it. Peace of God. In the church. I like this. In the church. In here. We had a great time at the Christmas party. Amen. It was so peaceful. It was really so peaceful. Folks just coming in and you know, and when you can walk around like me. I don't know about any, I'm just speaking for myself. I can walk around every table. Other than Caleb's. And everybody give me a hug and give me a handshake or hit the rock and, you know. It's peacemaker. See, preachers have to be peacemakers. Really, we have to be peacemakers. Watch this. Look at Romans 10. Y'all have to be peacemakers. Yeah. Madison? Minister Brian and Jake and Dave and all those who would preach. Peacemakers. Look at Romans 10 and 12. That's what it says. He said, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Now stay with Paul now. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's a question mark there. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, some folks get upset. They get mad. Hey, preacher. You know, I hear it all the time. People, preacher, hey, preacher. And a lot of folks be mocking. But at the same time, I relish the fact you're a preacher. Hey, preacher. Because a preacher is supposed to preach the gospel. And a lot of folks don't want to be called preachers because they're not preaching the gospel. They don't want people to even think they're preaching the gospel. Let me tell you, the Baptist church is struggling because folks want to go to, they want to go to Cogent Church. And they want to go to the Assembly of God. They want to go to the Pentecost Church because it's almost like they are more accepting and more tolerant. And you can sit up in there in your condition, in your lifestyle, and do whatever you want to do. Because we're not preaching the gospel here, and everybody's welcome. I heard one of my boys say that this morning. Everybody's welcome. God accepts everybody. Well, no, he don't. Okay? God don't accept everybody. If he did, hell be closed. Hell still hot. Folks still going there. Absolutely. He wouldn't have had to die if everybody was accepted. Listen. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. What? Of peace. And bring glad tidings of good things. All right, I'm going to hear some good things. See, folks, I'm not hearing good things. See, good things to a lot of folks is compromise. Accept me for who I am. You know, you're so narrow-minded. You're so judgmental. I'm just preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Okay? See? Because I was hit in the mouth. I was socked in the gut. Okay? And I had to come to the Lord. It was a gut punch. You're not coming to the Lord on some easy believism. Oh, come on, you faithful. Come as you are. You know? You approach a holy God. When you approach a holy God, he's going to convict you of sin.
Amen.
Mm. Are you pursuing peace? Do you want it bad? Think about some of the things you want bad. Think about some of the things you want bad. And then compare those things that you want real bad with your love for the things of God.
Amen.
Think about some of the things that you want real bad. And then think about your relationship with God. This is a story of two women in the church. Philippians 4. It says, they were arguing, they were fighting. And back then, the women would teach the women. The women would teach the women. So obviously these two women were important to Paul's ministry. They most likely were teachers. But they had they had a beef. They had a problem. And Paul says in Philippians 4:1, he said, therefore, my brethren, beloved, belonged and longed for, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Looks like he's addressing these two women. He loved them. He's a peacemaker. He is a peacemaker. He says, my joy and my crown. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He said, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. He's a peacemaker.
Amen.
And he said, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. They had issues. Now, in the Greek, iodia means sweet fragrance or prosperous. That would have been somebody who probably had it real good. Probably somebody well-to-do in the church. And Synthesis' name meant fortunate. So now you have one prosperous and one who might be barely making it. Maybe one that came up hard and still struggling. Now they ain't at each other. And Paul says, where are the yoke fellas? Where are the peacemakers? Where are the peacemakers? Where are the peacemakers? Because this was a church Paul loved. This was a church that said that they were Christian people, born again believers. You can't be born again if you're not a peacemaker.
Amen.
Oh man, that's Pastor, you. Yeah. Listen. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. You tell me you're a Christian. And you don't have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. You tell me you're a Christian and you're not a mourner. You tell me you're a Christian, you're not meek. You tell me a Christian, you're not poor in spirit. Then we're reading different Bibles.
Amen.
These aren't options.
Amen.
This is a Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus saying what it means to be a Christian. And to be a Christian, you need to be a peacemaker.
Amen.
Now think about it. Text somebody. Tell them I'm a peacemaker. What is a peacemaker not? See, a peacemaker is not a compromiser. I'm not asking you to compromise. I'm not asking you to compromise your standards, your holiness, to be at peace with somebody. Why? Because the Word of God says, listen, he says, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. Hebrews 12, follow peace with all men. Then he says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. What is the writer of Hebrews saying? Let me tell you what he said. He said, you follow peace with all men. But there's some folks you're not going to have peace with. But you have a responsibility to pursue it, to get after that person. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Let me tell you what it looked like. You ride down the street. You can fit 6 people in your car comfortably. 4 in the back, 2 in the front. And you ride down the street. And you got grace and mercy and love, joy and faith in the car. And you got room for one more passenger. You got room for one more passenger. You ride down the street. And you see peace and holiness hitchhiking. Who are you going to pick up? You're going to pick up holiness. Because you're not going to sacrifice your holiness for peace. You're not going to sacrifice your holiness. That's not even difficult. Okay? He says some people think peace is just copping out. Well, you know, I don't want to make waves. I don't want to hurt their feelings. You know, I don't want them to leave. I don't want them to be mad at me.
Uh-huh.
That's cowardly.
Amen.
That's cowardly.
Amen.
You know, when you address them, you confront them. Listen, what you're doing is wrong. How you living is wrong. And you're not bringing that mess here.
Amen.
Well, I don't want them not to talk to me. Listen. I'd rather them not talk to me than God not talk to me.
Amen.
Oh, we don't hear it. Oh, Pastor. Pastor, you off the charts. Where you coming up with this stuff? Listen, I heard preacher. He preached a sermon. He said, don't be a stinking compromiser. You know, it is. You know, let me give you a dictionary. Let me give you a dictionary definition of compromiser. Okay? A weakening or reduction of one's principles or standards. Okay? You're going to lower your standards, and the church is doing a real good job at this. See, we lowered the standards so low. Anybody come in and be comfortable. Let me tell you something. If you can come here and be a drunk and a fornicator and be shagging up and be a homosexual and be comfortable, then I'm not preaching the gospel.
Amen.
I'm not preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. But see, we so caught up in being big. We didn't know everybody welcome. Just come on in. Bring your lifestyle. You know?
Uh-huh.
Bring it on in. Let me tell you who they're going after. When them unsaved folks come in here, when them unsaved, sexually active folks come in here, you know where they're coming? They're heading for the pulpit first. Okay? And then they're going to look at Evelina and say, Evelina, she doing good. That man she with must be taking good care of him or her. And so they're going to go after him. And then they're going to go after all the men in here making money.
Amen.
Oh, can I be real?
Amen.
Madison ain't coming after him. He broke. That's the truth. So we have a responsibility to preach the Bible. Why? Because this is God's house.
Amen.
This
Amen.
Is God's house. And let me tell you something. It is a place where the people of God are to come and worship and fellowship. Ecclesia, the called out ones. That's the church.
Amen.
Pastor, you're not going to grow. Well, listen, it's God's church.
Amen.
And God adds to the church such as should be. It's not my job to add to the church. It's my job to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Okay? And if God say, well, you know what? It's time for you to go. Then it's time for me to go. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Listen. Let me close. Yes. I love this. Don't be a stinking compromiser. Look at Ephesians. Y'all know this one. Y'all haven't even turned there. Because Paul is challenging the church to stand. He's challenging the church to stand. He's challenging the church to stand. He's challenging ministers and preachers and deacons and the men and women of the church, the young people and old people. Stand for something.
Amen.
I heard it with Jake praying. We don't stand for nothing.
Amen.
No, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It ain't shining.
Amen.
I don't even know if we plugged in. Here's Paul in Ephesians 6 and 10. He said, finally, my brethren, people of God, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, not yours. Put on the whole armor of God. Why, Paul? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
You ain't got no armor on. Some of us ain't got no armor on.
Amen.
Walking around just flaming spears and darts hanging all on us. And we wonder why I don't feel good. I'm so tired. I'm wore down. I don't feel like going to church. You got fiery darts all in you. They designed to weaken you. The world is designed to weaken you and to take away your power and your love and your joy for the things of God. Of course, you don't want to be around saved folks.
Amen.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may withstand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Listen, y'all watch that incident happen out there in San Francisco, wherever it's happening in California. Then when them SWAT teams come in there, they weren't coming in there in shorts and tank tops and white beaters. They had on flak jackets and bulletproof vests, helmets and everything else, because they was... We walking around here, we don't have on nothing, no gear, no spiritual gear, and we get tatted up.
Amen.
Walking up, you just limping around in spiritual life, and nobody want to be a Christian. Look at you, tired of wore out Christians. Listen, y'all look at our president. Y'all look at our president. Care how you feel about him, he's our president. Whether you voted for him or not, he's our president.
Amen.
He is wore out.
Yeah, uh-huh.
When he came into office, he was popping. He was young, and his hair was black, and he looked handsome and strong, and he ran up on the stage, and he was... And now he didn't battle. He didn't battle. Been battling ISIS and the Congress and the Senate. He didn't battle the pro-life people, the pro-choice people. He been battling the LGBT. He been battling. And now you look at him, he like, when is they having another election? I am done. I am wore out. Why? Because there's no peace. See, there's no peace. You won't have peace in the Congress. You won't have peace in the Senate. You won't have peace in Iraq. You ain't having no peace without the Prince of Peace. No peace. No peace. And some of us in here wore out. Wore out because we try to do this without the Prince of Peace. I hope I don't. I ain't going to even say that. Get wore out. I'm going to keep preaching this gospel.
Amen.
I'd rather get put out than wore out. We don't want to hear that no more, Pastor. Water it down, or we're going to find us a new pastor.